Welcome to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Hope you had a fabulous Labor Day weekend. Boy, it's going to be an interesting week coming off of the Republican National Convention in Tampa and, of course, what's happening in Charlotte, North Carolina. To me, the pressure has switched to Obama because he's the incumbent. He should be the bone crusher, and yet there are so many people who are not thrilled with Barack Obama who voted for him last time around. So what is he going to do to create some reason for those people to want to go and vote for him? I've heard from a lot of younger people especially who feel apathetic and don't feel like they got that hope and change, and they don't want to vote for Obama. Certainly there are people that will go and vote for Obama and don't like some of what they heard from the Republican National Convention. Paul Ryan, the congressman from Wisconsin, is doing everything he can to make sure that people understand the difference between what a Romney administration could mean versus four more years of Barack Obama. Here's Paul Ryan with some parting shots.
What is missing is leadership. Leadership to actually see the problem and fix the problem. Mitt Romney is the kind of person whose entire life story tells us this is the kind of leader we need. After 4 years of getting the runaround, it is time for an American turnaround. And the man for that job is Mitt Romney.
So, the Republicans had their day in the sun. A lot of people tuned in. A lot of money was raised. A lot of parties. And a lot of celebrating the ticket, the official nominations, even though we know it was in the bag. In fact, coming up in this hour, we're going to talk with Phil Musser, who gives you an insight into Romney, spent a ton of time with Mitt Romney, is a guy in the Republican Party who works in the Republican Party and getting people elected, and is a confidant, certainly, of Mitt and his family. So he talks about Romney and adds, I think, some interesting insight into the man, into what it was like when he was governor of Massachusetts, etc. Also coming up, we're going to talk in our very next segment, John Taylor. He is a professor of economics out of Stanford University. He's quoted a lot. He talks about how the numbers don't add up when people argue about corporate tax numbers and argue about taxes in general, how they're wrong. They're wrong that it doesn't, you know, that this doesn't make sense, the direction that we're headed in, what's going on with the deficit. And we cap things off with another man that we chatted with in Tampa related to numbers of a different sort that could tank the United States, the European Union. We talked to Jeffrey Van Orten, who is a EU Parliament member, and he has plenty to say about the numbers as well and how we better take cover in a very, very big way. All right, bouncing back to the Republicans, the RNC chairman, Rince Priebus, argues that voters are worse off than 4 years ago and that Republicans will definitely win in November. The Rasmussen poll shows that Mitt Romney has a 4-point edge. And some of the other polls, it's kind of neck and neck, and we'll see what happens after Charlotte. Priebus talked about, at this point, were there any disappointments from the Republican convention, and adds in something else.
The Denver convention was a time of hope and change. This convention comes at a time of major disappointments. I feel real good that if the election was held today, we'd be winning today. If the election is tied, we're going to win the election. Independents are not going to suddenly have an epiphany and decide that everything is great and Barack Obama fulfilled the mission of his presidency, which he did not.
Ooh. All right. So how will people vote? What's going to happen? Do you know how you're voting? Send me your thoughts. AmericaTonight.net. I'm curious about that. I think that a lot of people do know. However, once I started to talk to some of the people in Tampa, even some of the delegates, I wasn't necessarily so convinced of that. Some people think changing their mind, actually, who weren't even Romney supporters and changed their mind in a big hurry once they hit the convention. By the way, the president did take a little bit of a break from the campaign trail on Monday. Why? Because he was touring the areas that were hit by Hurricane Isaac, which just smashed the Gulf Coast last week. And he took a little bit of a shot at the former Bush, former President Bush. He met with the FEMA people, and he talked about that his administration, that he's sending a clear message to the victims, trying to contrast the efforts with the previous administration, that we're here to help. Oh, he must have said that several different times. We're here to help. He said, we haven't seen this specifically what he said that caught my attention is, we haven't seen the kind of coordination that is necessary in response to these kinds of disasters. So nasty. Still people without power, lots of people in shelters in parts of Louisiana. Anyway, that seemed to be, they seem to get it the worst, the brunt of it. Cat 1, it was a Category 1, Isaac, and unfortunately, it was eerie to witness, to see any of the video. I'm sure many of you saw that. Some of you, I hope, not living through it, but some of you probably, reminding you of Katrina and what happened 7 years ago during Katrina. And where were you then? I can't tell you how many people a couple of years ago we talked to in Mississippi that showed me some unbelievable things and had crazy tales of trying to survive. I mean, just unbelievable things happened to people where their house was there, they left, they came back, there was nothing. They were lucky they even had a slab, and not there was no luck in that. I mean, there was nothing. They had nothing. It was like the house was just poof, gone in thin air, gone into the night. Awful, awful for so many people. A couple of other things to mention here at the top of the show. As I said, everything switches to Charlotte, the Democrats arriving in Charlotte, pretty confident, some of them, about Obama's second term chances. And Obama's speech, by the way, is going to happen no matter what the weather is, because weather forecasts show there's a chance of rain for Thursday. And that's when Obama's supposed to speak in an open-air arena, stadium. So that's one of those moments. It's like when people have the, weddings, and they decide that they're going to have an open-air wedding. And they just keep their fingers crossed that it's not going to be one of those times when the heavens open up and the rain comes down. But the weather forecast does show there is a chance of weather. Other things that I think you'll see from the Democrats, is going to try to turn his relationship around with organized labor. That's going to be a big thing that's going to happen Tuesday. They're going to talk about the unions. And supposedly, there are some people, a couple of them, who worked at Bain Capital who are going to speak at the Democratic National Convention. Ooh. So buckle up, stay tuned. Some great conversations coming here next on America Tonight. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth slide into a recession or, at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
We've all heard the phrase, don't judge a book by its cover. A wise saying for sure. Now apply that wisdom to nutrition. Don't judge milk by the animal. Camel milk, the best kept health secret ever. See for yourself at camelmilkforsale.com and look for the Summer Camel Milk Special. Loaded with health benefits far superior to other milk, camel milk has antibacterial, antiviral, and anti-tumor properties, is rich in B vitamins, and is 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk, 10 times higher in iron. Plus, it contains 52 units of insulin-like proteins per liter, effectively lowering blood sugar levels. Many of our members testified that drinking camel milk reversed diabetes and greatly improved autism. Camel milk comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm, shipped on dry ice to preserve freshness. Go to camelmilkforsale.com now and look under products and pricing for the summer special with free bonus pints. That's camelmilkforsale.com.
Some kind of way out of here. Say that trumpet to the beat.
We're back on Radio Row here in Tampa at the Republican National Convention. Very pleased to welcome to the show, because you know I'm all about the numbers, is very pleased to welcome John Taylor. He's a Stanford economist to our little corner of the world. John, how many radio shows have you been on already? Let me guess. 10.
Pretty close.
Oh, yeah,
pretty close.
Well, you saved the best for last, just so you know, okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
As you look at this election, and it's all about the numbers, even the Democrats are talking about the numbers, and, of course, the Republicans are talking about the numbers. And the one thing that constantly we are always talking about on America Tonight is the deficit and where we're headed with the deficit. The clock at the convention, well, not the convention center, the forum, where everything's happening, all the speeches and whatnot, has the digitized
right. Seconds
keeps going what the deficit is. How serious, I mean, it's almost a layup question to ask you this, but how serious are we getting to the point of almost no return? I mean, how far can we go with this deficit? We're not paying on any of the principal of this. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, we can't get much further this way. We really have to make the correction. And actually, the sooner they make the correction, the easier it'll be. Right now, you just have to slowly reduce the big expansion of government we've had in the last couple of years, and that'll bring down the debt. Get the economy moving more rapidly, that'll produce more revenue. So we can address it, but we can't wait too much longer or we're going to get into a difficult situation like they've seen in Greece.
All right, and so when you say we can't wait too much longer, if you had to timetable it, I mean, are we saying...
You never can timetable things that perfectly, but I'd say, geez, you know, 3, 4 years or 5 years, if we don't make a correction, it's going to come very fast. And then, besides that, it just gets worse and worse and worse. So then that's when you talk about your children and your grandchildren, and I bring my grandchild to class to show the kids the chart so they can really understand it.
And so, and you're right, because you're saying, look, here's the growth of my grandchild, right? And
right.
Here's where we'll be if
yeah.
we don't keep doing this. So as you listen to what's being said, because it's politicized beyond belief, of course, the deficit, you take the axe and just cut the spending. We just have to gut it. What would be your solution to the crisis? What's the way to claw out of this where it can be, it's not going to be comfortable, but somewhat comfortable for maybe both sides, we'll say.
Yeah, you know, it's not like a hatchet or an axe or something like that. It's just common sense. Here's the way to think about it. You like numbers?
Yeah.
In 2007, federal spending as a share of our GDP, a good way to measure it, was 19.7%. And then we've had this spending boom, binge, over the last 3 or 4 years. It's now 23-24%. So from 19.7 to 23-24, it's a gigantic increase. All we have to do is bring it back to where it was in 2007. That shouldn't be so hard. What government agency couldn't go back to the spending levels it did then? So that's the way to think about it. And actually, that's what's in the Romney plan. Just bring it back to 20% of GDP, slowly, gradually, and that does the trick.
Yeah. So obviously you embrace some of the things that you're seeing from Romney and looking at listening to what he's saying. And, of course, as you know, if Romney were to be elected, we'd also have to be concerned about the legislative branch, because then that's the other part of it. Maybe this is just another silly question, but what I don't understand is, forget the labels for a second, how is it that the people who represent us, when they sit there year after year putting a Band-Aid on a budget, we know even as homeowners, as families, that you can't do that. What comes in and what goes out, eventually it crashes and burns. Why have we continued to see that happen and to let it happen?
You know, the numbers are so big, they're hard to understand, but if it was a family, it'd be the same, be so straightforward. But politicians have incentive to kick things down the road. You know, let's not deal with the hard problems, let's wait to those problems. And plus, you have a lot of interests who'd like to keep spending higher. They'd like to grow government by huge amounts, and so they're in that debate. But I think you're right, you put it in the context of a family. Family has started spending too much. What do you do to go back to where you were before? Wasn't that difficult? And,
yeah.
And that's what we have to do.
When we look at some other numbers. We hear the plans for what happens to the Bush tax cuts if they're not extended and we go off the so-called fiscal cliff. Somebody said to me today, "Oh, it's not a cliff, it's an abyss." What would you term it as we head in this direction at the end of the year?
Well, I don't want to go over a cliff or into an abyss. I don't know which is worse. They're both terrible.
They are.
And you know, the most important thing to remember about that cliff or abyss, it didn't come from outer space. It didn't come from Mother Nature. It came from the politicians. They put it in place. These policies are very temporary. You know, we'll do a temporary tax cut. We'll do a temporary cash for clunkers. We'll do a temporary this and that. And then the temporary comes to the end and you're stuck with a cliff. So they got to fix that. That's one of the biggest problems in this economy in the last 3 or 4 years. All these temporary, short-term things which really haven't got the economy going. Once you put something in place that's longer-term, like a tax reduction or a pledge not to increase taxes, then the economy will start growing again.
The other thing that we hear from manufacturers, I talked to one of the heads of manufacturing today, and he was telling me that I say on my show, well, if you cut the corporate tax rate, it has to be below 25% or really lower. And he said the same thing. He said, you know, you're the first person to say or lower. It has to be lower. It has to be in the teens. But what are the odds of either party being elected being able to do that?
Well, let's do first things first. The rate is so high now, basically the highest in the world for all intents and purposes.
Right.
So getting it out to 25 at least brings us back into the realm of reasonableness in terms of the. And I believe now with the potential of this economy, what's happening more broadly, that would help tremendously in terms of creating jobs and really providing more opportunities for people. So I'd start with that, and then if it works out, go further. But, you know, you got to do what's possible, and that would be a tremendous improvement over where we are now.
And I think it's possible. You obviously think it's possible as an economist in looking at it, but why is it Is it, again, just the same thing we're saying? It's the this is my territory and I don't want to deal with the hard problems. Do we need more economists in Washington? Do we need better economists? Do we need better money people?
I think we need more common sense. We need people who see the problem that the debt is growing and the tax rates are too high and our competition is going and our economy is growing so slowly and our unemployment is so high. All those things tell you to go back to some basics. Get the debt under control. Get your tax rates like, well, we haven't had a tax reform since 1986, and that was a powerful incentive for this. We need another one.
When I look at the Federal Reserve, you know, Ron Paul, there was some ruckus the other night with his delegates who were passionate about Ron Paul. One of the things that he talks about is eliminating the Federal Reserve and doesn't like, you know, Ben Bernanke and, of course, with the playing around with the interest rates. Or, to me, the thing that I think is more, even more offensive is the money that we're printing, the quantitative easing, and it's like monopoly money. We don't even know what it is. We don't know what the number is. How is that dangerous in your mind?
Yes. I think the quantitative easings have not been effective, and they raise all sorts of risks about inflation down the road or about the economy slowing down again as they try to remove these huge amounts of money from the economy. Here again, we have some good history about what to do. And you know, in the 80s and 90s, we didn't do all this kind of thing.
Right.
We had a pretty much what I call rules-based policy. The Fed operated pretty well. We had good economic growth. We didn't have these recessions and crises. It's just recently we've had this kind of very discretionary, again, I'd say short-term monetary policy, which includes things like the quantitative easing. So that's another part of an important reform that we need to have, is get back to the kind of policies that worked well in much of the 80s and 90s. Of course, the world's different. You can't go back exactly, but you can have that philosophy that worked so well then.
Yeah. How about the, I wanted to turn to Wall Street for a second. How about the push-pull over Glass-Steagall?
Well, Glass-Steagall gets a lot of the blame for the crisis. I think he could blame the crisis on a lot of things. Once the Fed had those interest rates very low in 2003, 2004, 2005, encouraged a search for yield, encouraged a lot of speculation in the housing market. And then I think just generally the rules weren't followed in terms of the banks. We had these regulatory rules and regulatory agencies. They basically didn't enforce them. So before we go back and make big changes, in fact, I think there's a real reason to reconsider that gigantic Dodd-Frank bill, which includes a lot of changes and a lot more regulations. Go back and reconsider that and take into account what actually happened in the financial crisis.
Yeah. LIBOR.
Oh, LIBOR. LIBOR is this crazy thing where the banks would fill out a survey, then we'd base trillions of dollars of loans on that survey. Now we're realizing that the survey wasn't filled out quite right, and we've got to fix that. It's unfortunate because you need trust in the financial system. It's an important part of the financial system, is trust. When you lose that, you lose a lot. So they really need to get some credibility back in there, get another kind of rate to measure, and it'll be okay.
I agree. John, thank you so much. It was nice meeting you. Stanford, I'm so jealous. Oh, I love California. I'll be back with more in just a second.
The summer specials are on at HHA, Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big at herbalhealer.com. And new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Liquid CalMag Vitamin D and Organic Iodine, CoQ10 with Hawthorne, Colon Enhancer, Super 2, Natural Laxative, our exceptional product Conexin, Memory Power, and Super Male and Femplex, all on sale for summer at herbalhealer.com. Also get 10% off on the Herbal Healer Academy Survival Course. Information that might save your life. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty, thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy-duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135 and get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves, available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
In this unpredictable world, disaster can strike anyone. That's why an essential part of any emergency survival plan must be stove in a can. When power goes out and gas lines are down, the portable, safe, easy-to-use stove in a can cooks food up to 4 hours and boils water in as little as 5 minutes. Stove in a can comes with everything you need. The stove, fuel, even waterproof matches, all in a compact, durable, heavy-duty container. Plus, the all-natural, non-explosive, 100% waterproof fuel source can be stored indefinitely. Say goodbye to the hassle and danger of propane, lighter fluid, or gas. Stock up now and protect your family with Stove in a Can, starting out at $29.99. Special bundle offers now available with a 100% satisfaction guarantee or your money back. Order yours today at StoveInACan.com. That's StoveInACan.com.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
The brain trust is here. No. Bill Musser. I'm calling him a Republican strategist because he's
sure.
had so many jobs.
I have.
And I mean that in a positive way. You are, I think you're helping to shape a little policy here and there. And is that fair to say?
I've got a couple. I've worn a lot of hats in my life. You know, my grandfather worked in one place for 45 years in his career. And I think I probably had 25 jobs in my 20 years in politics, if not more. But the last couple of years, I've been real focused on working with Republican governors around the country. And
yeah.
so I was fortunate to run the Republican Governors Association for Governor Romney when he was the chairman in 06 and 05. And I specialize in really trying to help elect Republican governors around the country and help on third-party groups that are trying to promote freedom and liberty around our nation.
I understand that that he likes to bend your ears, that he likes you. Is that fair to say that you get to toss it around a little bit?
I hope so. I hope I'm on the friends list. He's a good man, and so it's a privilege to serve him, and he's going to be a great president.
What do you think it is that people don't know about Mitt Romney? We keep seeing in the polls how he's getting clobbered by President Obama and the likability factor.
Right. Well, that's probably because President Obama's campaign has spent hundreds of million dollars trying to convince Americans in swing states that he's an out-of-touch plutocrat, which is completely the opposite of Mitt Romney that I know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, behind closed doors, he's got a terrific sense of humor, really warm and engaging guy. In terms of the kind of the moral fabric of the human being, he's just an intrinsically good human being. He's the kind of guy that, you know, if you have a problem in the middle of the night and you call up and
ask for help. He's going to stop his car and help you, or he's going to come over and do you a favor. And so I think that's really what we're going to start to see here tonight. Mrs. Romney, I think, will give a speech that will give a good glimpse into the soul and the character of her husband. I think we might even get a glimpse of Mitt tonight. And I think that'll be the first step in trying to do what I think is a really key strategic goal for this convention, which is filling in some of those gaps that you just identified that, you know, I think allow Mitt to connect, people to connect with Governor Romney in a way that they haven't had the chance to by getting a better measure of the man's history as a father, as a civic leader, as a faith leader, and as a government leader.
Yeah, I wondered why we hadn't heard about that, because I know people that knew Governor Romney back when he was a bishop in the church and how much he reached out to a lot of people, not just people, by the way, of Mormon faith, other people who needed help. He was glad to help them, from what I understand. So you think we'll see more of that come out?
You know, I do. I think it's interesting, though, because it's almost against his own inner nature to kind of brag about some of the good deeds that he's done. But if you look back over his career, well before he was in public service, I think I first met Governor Romney in 1997 or 1998 when he was working at Bain Capital in Massachusetts, and I was working for then-Governor Paul Cellucci in Boston. And the things that he was, you know, he would do behind closed doors without asking for credit is really, you know, that story's not been told. And I think to some degree, because of the Romney's humility, they've resisted telling that. And I think hopefully others will tell some of the story here for them. And I hope Governor Romney will open up about some of those issues himself, because, you know, his life is one that I think anyone could look at and say, wow, that's a life that I would like to emulate.
Having worked with the governors, what was the idea, is to get everybody kind of on the same page? Here's, you know, we're fighting for liberty. I hope you're doing that in your state, that kind of thing. I mean, what, as you round up lots of different personalities, it's kind of like the NFL with all the different owners.
Right.
Everybody has a different personality and a different problem.
You're going to get some personality tonight, Jersey style.
Exactly. You got to wrangle them in. So what did you find seemed to be the uniting thing with all the governors?
Well, the governors are uniformly jazzed about Mitt's nomination. And I think the roof is going to come off the place tonight. There's a lot of pent-up energy here. But look, governors are significant in several ways, right? I mean, they are the chief cheerleaders in their states for both their policies, but they also control the political apparatus in states. And one of the things that your viewers or your listeners need to know is this election is shaping up to be a real squeaker. If you look at any measure of the polling, I do not believe it's going to be a blowout election one way or the other, unless there is a decisive break in public opinion, as there was, for example, in 1980 around one of the debates. But my hunch is that this is going to be a very close election. And so governors matter because they're both able to carry and drive a message in their home states in ways that other elected officials are not. But they also are in charge of the political apparatus in their states. And having a good team, 29 Republican governors out of our 50 states, is a strategic and tactical advantage that the Romney campaign is focused on deploying effectively between now and the election.
How important is Chris Christie's message tonight, the governor of New Jersey, who is not shy about unloading his feelings?
He's not shy about unloading his feelings. He's a great guy. I've had a privilege to help him in his campaign. I know him well. I think he's going to he'll light it up tonight in a way that's going to be memorable and helpful to the cause. And, you know, he brings a certain panache and style. He's really one of the most gifted speakers that we have in the Republican Party. I would put Rubio and Christie and Mike Pence and a few others in kind of really the top tier in terms of communications ability. And so I think he's going to give a great speech. I know he's going to take it squarely to President Obama and articulate the path that we're on, and then lay out the alternative vision and probably have a little bit of, as we say, Jersey style in there too.
Do you think Christie will ever run for president? Because, you know, he had a lot of people try to talk him into that last time around.
Well, yeah, you know, look, after 8 years of the Romney administration, you know, I think there's a deep bench of talent that could look at it in 2020. You know, and Chris is a young guy. Governor Christie's a young guy. He's got a lot of great skills. He's built a really big national fan base. He's the vice chairman of the Republican Governors Association. He'll probably continue to play a leadership role in that group. And so I think we'll hear more from Chris Christie. But he's one of many that really are rising superstars in our party. It's interesting because our bench is very, very deep. We've got a lot of really good talent.
How do you think, and this will be something that will happen Thursday when Mitt Romney gives his speech, how does he already, we talked about the softening the other sides of Mitt Romney that you know that people don't know, that don't know him, that kind of thing, and Ann Romney will help, let's say, do that. But how does he also get around the Democratic attacks, all the negative ads that he is rarefied air? He knows nothing about what the middle class is going through and attacks on Bain. How do you present that to the American people, the average person, to realize that he's not out of touch with their needs?
Well, I think the convention will play an important role in that, and that's an important strategic imperative for the next couple of days. And then I think we, once we cross that bridge, really this becomes a question about the future direction of the country and whether Americans are satisfied that the country's going in the right direction, or we think people are on the wrong track. And if you look at the polling information, this is going to be an economy-driven election, and so the challenge for the campaign is to articulate a positive, proactive, simple, understandable vision for what America would look like in 4 years under a Romney administration versus 4 more years of Barack Obama's generally failed agenda. A lot of people voted for Barack Obama in 2008, and so the mission is not so much to do what they're doing to us, which is to try and demonize and tear down Romney, because I don't think that's an effective strategy for us. If we play small ball and get into a spitball contest with the Obama campaign, this may be a tough election for us. If we're able to articulate a clear, positive, compelling vision that's simple, that's developed, you know, that's delivered through a series of debates, I think debates are going to be very important for your listening audience. I think Americans owe it to themselves to tune into both the presidential debates and the vice presidential debate. But if we're talking about policy and direction of the country and the economy, we're going to win this election. If we're distracted on chasing down rabbit holes around, you know, Bain capital and tax returns and, you know, generally nonsensical stuff that doesn't matter to the bottom line, I think we'll probably lose. But you know, that's what we have to do, and that's where we're going to be focused.
Yeah, you know, talking about that rabbit holes. Every once in a while, we'll get a caller that'll say that. Well, then why don't you just show the tax returns? And Romney himself has said, why would we waste time on that? If you go back, you can see my history when I was governor, and that's true, isn't it?
Yeah, you can go. You can do that. He's given 2 years of tax returns. I mean, the guy's been enormously generous in his philanthropic efforts. He's paid his taxes. It's really a non-issue. I mean, I think what you'll hear from the governor is a real pledge to say, look, measure me by results, and here are the kind of results I'll deliver for the country. And I'm not going to give you warm, fuzzy talk, because we've tried that. I will give you concrete measurement tools by which to evaluate the success of my presidency. And in doing so, I think people understand that. If you can make a baseline pocketbook connection about how you're going to make someone's life better in a concrete way, then we're going to do just fine, because these are tangential issues.
Looking at the electoral, and you know, because you've gotten people elected, looking at an electoral map, what do you think are the key things that have to happen for Romney to swing in his direction? I mean, the Ohio's, the Florida's, the...
Yeah, well, we got to win here.
Yeah.
Tampa's a key piece of this puzzle. We're sitting here in what's called the I-4 corridor. We're at one end of it. There are swing counties like Pinellas and Hillsborough and Lake County just to our south, and some of the coastline here. You have to do very well in this state. For people who don't know Florida well, is essentially 10 media markets. There are lots of different pieces. There's a mixed kind of diversity from an ethnic perspective. There's Cubans, there's Puerto Ricans, there's affluent white, there's middle class white, there's kind of Bubba Boat up in the panhandle. So appealing and doing well in Florida is a mission critical objective. I think the campaign and all of us who are supporting the campaign feel good about the fact that, for example, you know, the polls are really closed up in Wisconsin. So you bring Wisconsin back into the mix. And that's a significant get in terms of electoral college votes, and I think that's probably some credit due to Paul Ryan and the pick on that. But obviously, Ohio and Florida are critical to what we call the 3-2-1 strategy. Mm-hmm. So for your audience, I'll explain briefly what that is. But for the campaign to win, the best path for Romney to be elected is to win back the three states that we lost in 2008, which is North Carolina, Indiana, and Virginia. So win those three states back. Today, we'll probably win North Carolina. We're going to win in Indiana, and Virginia is a jump ball. The two are Ohio and Florida. We win Ohio and Florida. Then we need to win one of only a handful of about 16 other states that are swing states, ranging from Pennsylvania to New Hampshire to New Mexico, in order to win the presidency and go over 270. So that's our best path to victory. But in truth, this is going to be very, very close. And, you know, I'm not sure exactly what the electoral math is going to look like. But right where we are right now, this is a very, very winnable election.
Phil, the man. Thanks so much. I enjoyed meeting you. I hope we have more conversations in the future. Thanks.
All right,
I appreciate
great.
It.
Nice to see you.
Thanks.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
On America Tonight, of course, we're going to update you on what's happening with Isaac. A lot of reporters in raincoats, and it looks like a lot of palm trees and whatnot are bent backwards. But so far, the levees are more than holding up in New Orleans, which is very, very good news. We're broadcasting live from Tampa, the Republican National Convention. And sitting with me here on Radio Row is Jeffrey Van Orden. And you're going to love this guy. Why are you going to love this? Because we talk about money constantly. We have all kinds of economists and experts on the show. He is actually a EU member of parliament, and here he is with us. How lucky are we? Jeffrey, thanks for
hello.
Popping
yeah,
by.
It's a great pleasure to join you, and lovely to be here in Tampa.
It is lovely to be here, isn't it? We missed the Isaac stuff. We just
exactly.
got a little rain, so
yeah.
That was nice, wasn't it?
Well, it was, yes. I've never been in a hurricane, so I was just wondering what it was going to feel like, but I won't have that experience.
Now, you had Monday, so you were probably resting and whatnot. You didn't go to Busch Gardens or any of that, did you?
Yeah. No, we were out at, but we were at Busch Gardens. Yeah. Well, not actually in Busch Gardens, but our hotel is just near there.
Yeah. Oh, so you could see like the chimpanzees climbing up the hotel, or
almost.
almost. Let's talk about the EU. And yeah. For...
If you must.
If we must, exactly. You know, we watch the stock market and we keep hearing the what's going to happen, what's the collapse of Greece and the bailout twice and whatnot. First of all, Greece. I'll ask you the question about Greece. I mean, is Greece done? That's it. Forget it now.
It is. And many would say that they're trying to, and there's almost a conspiracy, to put off the fatal moment until after November, because there will be shockwaves if Greece was to leave the Eurozone. But many feel, and I'm among them, that until Greece does leave the Eurozone, we're never going to break out of this crisis. And in fact, it's not just Greece. The Eurozone actually ought to split in two. You ought to have, on the one hand, what I call the olive economies, and on the other hand, the hard economies of Northern Europe. And those olive economies ought to be allowed to float, have their own exchange rates and interest rates, so that their economies can start growing again.
So I love that analogy, olive and hard. Give us examples of olive, like Ireland.
Well, funnily enough, it would be in that category, but you're talking about Greece, Portugal, Spain. I mean, the big question is France an olive economy or not? And that's why this solution is not going to happen, I have to say. Because don't forget that the Euro project is first and foremost a political project.
Right.
It's all about integrating Europe politically. And that's, you know, they fear that if somewhere like Greece was to leave and other countries were to leave, this would herald the breakup of the Eurozone and indeed the whole EU idea. And others might then follow, you see. So they're very concerned not to go down that particular track.
But how many bailouts can... It's like the IMF. Well, how many bailouts can you possibly have until you just break in half anyway?
Well, the real question is, for how long is the German taxpayer willing to fund the you know, the beach resorts of Greece? And, you know, if you're German, you retire at 65 or whatever. In Greece, you retire at 52. So for 13 years, your German credit card is maxing out on looking after the leisurely life of Greek retirees. I don't think the German taxpayer is going to tolerate that much longer.
Right. You look at the IMF. You look at Christine Lagarde. Would you, you know, how would you place her among, you know, her predecessor before her, and then she steps into what's happening now and is, I guess, trying to play Solomon in a way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in spite of the fact that she's French, she seems to be quite a reasonable and very straightforward and quite sensible head of the IMF. IMF, of course, is one of those respectable organizations. But we've got to make sure that the UK, for example, isn't pouring money into the IMF, which is then going to end up supporting the Eurozone. Mm-hmm. That's something we're very concerned about.
Yeah. And when you say we're very concerned and you're an EU member, explain to people the Parliament and how that works, how many members, etc.
Yeah, how long have you got? Well, there are 732 members. They come from 27 member states. The number of representatives from a member state depends on population, or not exclusively, but largely on population. So, for example, the United Kingdom has 72 members. Mm-hmm. Germany has 99. But, I mean, after that, the UK and then France and is similar numbers as well, and Italy. And then you get right down to a country like Luxembourg, which just has three or four members. And then we're organized in political groups in the European Parliament. So as a British Conservative, I found myself, to my horror, when I was first elected, sitting with a group called the European People's Party, which is supposed to be a centre-right grouping, but actually believes in all the things about Europe which we really don't believe in, like a European constitution, like the euro, like an EU seat at the United Nations, like a European FBI, a European army, all of these sorts of things. So about 2 years ago, after a lot of effort, it was very difficult, we managed to form our own new political group of European conservatives and reformists. We now have 55 members in our group from eight different countries. The solid core of it is British Conservative, and we're the people who are represented here in Tampa this week.
And watching the American Mexican elections and what's unfolding here, because now we have, you know, 68 days to go before November 6th, and you hear pretty much, you know, what's going on with Romney and Ryan and the direction they'd like to see the country go, and then what's happening with the current administration. From your point of view, and certainly Obama has been to many of these meetings, crisis meetings, etc., that deal with the EU, who would you prefer in place?
I would prefer Romney in place. I have to say that the European media generally haven't paid a lot of attention to Mitt Romney. Maybe they will now. And when they have paid attention, it's generally been unfairly negative. I think for a lot of Europeans, they thought that Obama was going to be more well-disposed. I mean, I think many people felt that the W. Bush years were not helpful in terms of foreign policy, in terms of America's international image. And a change was needed, and a lot of people greeted Obama with enthusiasm. But like as I'm finding here with American people, that enthusiasm has somewhat dulled as the years have gone by. You know, people like me would be very concerned if we saw the United States losing its competitive edge, losing that great get-up-and-go mentality, losing that opportunity mentality that you have here, and that's been, you know, what you've built your great success on. So the more you become, if you like, socialized or Europeanized, as some describe it, I think that's going to be seriously to your detriment. And so, I mean, I've met a lot of Mitt Romney's close advisors and people close to him. I've been to some very good briefings in the last few days. I'm very encouraged by what I've heard, and I will be taking a very positive message back to the UK. But the fact is that the UK media is not giving Mitt Romney a fair wind. And I have to say, you know, when he came to the UK recently, that, you know, there was just one or two unfortunate quotes there, and that didn't go as well as it might have done. But I think Mitt Romney is a very impressive candidate. This convention is all about getting to know him, and I think that's as true for the Europeans as it is for the Americans.
Yeah, I agree with that, by the way. If we watch, too, now what's unfolding, we see the other financial crises, what's happened with Wall Street, and, you know, back in 2008, the banks too big to fail, and now LIBOR, and what's happening there. How concerned are you about that?
Well, very, because, I mean, particularly as a Brit, the financial sector, the City of London, is perhaps some would say a disproportionately large chunk of our GDP. It's very important to us. And therefore, anything which damages the reputation of the City of London is to be much regretted. And I think all these things haven't helped. And we've got to really work very hard now to re-establish our firm credentials that City of London is the place to come and do business.
Do you feel, in looking at Cameron and his years as the Prime Minister, do you think he's promoting that? How would you term him on a scale of 1 to 10 business-wise?
Well, I think in his heart, I've put him at about 8 or 9 business-wise. He's got a very difficult job. I mean, his top concern is fighting the deficit.
Yeah.
And that means you've got to introduce very unpopular measures. Not only that, unnaturally, we're in a coalition with a political party which on many issues is our 180 degree opposite to us. So I'm under no illusions about the difficulties that David Cameron faces as a Prime Minister. I do think, and I've said this to him, that we need to see a little bit more red meat in order to encourage conservative activists and grassroots, if you like.
Jeffrey Van Orden, very nice to meet you. What a lovely conversation.
Great pleasure.
Thank you.
Good luck to you all.
Thank you so much.
Alex Jones here with a great way to beat the blackouts, get off the grid, and generate your own supply of electrical power. Folks, with what's been going on in this country, I don't have to tell you about the power grid and just how vulnerable it is. That's in the mainstream news every day. Millions of people have lost their power in the last few weeks because of dangerous storms and killer heat that's pushing the grid beyond its capacity. I've always said that every family needs to be ready for blackouts. And if you don't have a backup system in place, I've got a great opportunity for you. Right now, our good friends at Solutions from Science are offering huge savings on their best-selling Power Hub unit. In fact, I think it's the best deal I've ever seen them make. It's literally thousands of dollars in savings. Remember, these backup systems don't need gas because they're solar powered. That means there's no dangerous fumes and no noise. InfoWars listeners can get all the details at beattheblackouts.com. That's beattheblackouts.com.